Now, let's get to the movies here, Joe. I went to one screening this week. I know you go to several a week, but I went to one screening this week. And if you don't mind, I'd like to start right in with this movie, Oz, the Great and Powerful.
Okay. Now, whenever we do this, it's always best for me, I think, since you are the host and you have the reins, why don't you kick off the direction you want to go with this?
All right. Here's the direction I want to go. This is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
Now, see, I wish I would have thought to write down just two words prior to you saying that. And those two words would have been epic fail.
Yeah.
Those would have been my two words.
That's a great description.
Because there are, I mean, there's a multitude of reasons, but let's just be extremely honest. It's 2013. Okay. 74 years ago, we had The Wizard of Oz.
Yep.
Since then, the man who wrote the story, for the guy wrote 17 books yes. about this one place. And didn't we get a Return to Oz or we had The Wiz? I mean, we've had a few weird,
yeah. oh, sure.
you know, adaptations. But and yes, there was The Muppet Wizard of Oz, which I'm telling you, if you've got a kid who's acting up and you want to ground the kid, let him watch Muppet Wizard of Oz. That is beyond torture.
Okay.
I'm not even kidding. So, and I was all excited because I'm a Muppet freak sometimes, and I almost cried watching it. And since I'm never unhappy, it was very difficult for me to go through.
I understand.
That. This movie in 2013 is a prequel to The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
Now, at the time The Wizard of Oz came out, I can't even imagine what it was like for people to see on the screen everything go from the sepia brown and white tones to full color.
Yeah.
You know, giant screen. That must have blown their minds.
Yep.
Here's my question for you.
Yep.
That is a gimmick and a special effects gimmick, isn't it?
Yep.
All right. Also, when crazy things are happening, the horses, horse with different color. I'm talking about The Wizard of Oz here.
Yes.
They're gimmicky special effects that were different than anything else anybody had ever seen.
Yep. Flying monkeys, the witch.
Yes.
And the broom, Surrender Dorothy, all of that.
Yeah, the writing in the sky, man.
In 1939 must have looked unbelievable.
Now, here's the question I've got. The reason why I feel that Oz, the Great and Powerful, is an epic fail is because of its overabundance of ridiculous special effects.
Absolutely.
I mean, the movie might as well be called, you know, CG Oz, okay? The great and powerful computer animated wizard. There's way too much of it, and the reason it blows is the reason why George Lucas lost a lot of fanboys and respect when he did The Phantom Menace. We're so used to a world where everything looks kind of real. Like, we know the Millennium Falcon cannot fly, but you know what? If I show up in a hangar bay, I can touch the thing.
Yep.
I know it's there.
Yeah.
So when you see flying monkeys, and you know that they're really objects that are right there being filmed that are, in a sense, flying.
Yep.
It, as a kid, you feel like, wow, man, this really is a crazy
In the original
world.
Movie, those flying monkeys scared the crap out of
oh,
me.
Oh, yeah.
Well, didn't they scare? And then we've got this movie where there are things that fly, all right? But I am sick and tired of every single close-up shot of CGI animated animals of any kind, flying or not, where I can see how their pupils are dilated, where I can see reflection in their actual eyeball, okay?
Yeah.
I'm looking in your eyes right now. I don't see any reflections in your eyeballs.
Right.
But you get that. This is a Sam Raimi movie. Sam Raimi, Evil Dead, Army of Darkness, okay? And let's face it, Spider-Man 2, not that bad.
Correct.
All right? This movie, he got James Franco to play, in a sense, the Wizard of Oz, okay?
Yeah. He plays a con man magician who gets caught in the tornado, in the balloon, and gets taken from Kansas to Oz. And there, they want him to become the new wizard because there was some prophecy that some guy would come out of black and white land and land in Technicolor land, and he would be their wizard.
Well, let's face it, there's a dead king in Oz, all right? And the dead king's got three living daughters, and they're pretty ticked off, and some are happy. Basically, the prophecy says a guy's going to show up and become the new king.
Yep.
Now, James Franco is supposed to be playing a character who is a silver-tongued devil, a guy who can go into any town and shake them all up and,
yep.
and con everybody out of their money and their loot, their jewels, anything. And so when he lands in Oz, he's like, hey, I'm a BS artist, man. Oh, yeah, the prophecy, yeah, that's me. I'm going to be your king. James Franco is so miscast.
Oh,
in this
horribly.
Role. It's
so
pathetic.
Glad to hear you say that, because that was, I walked out of this movie thinking to myself, three things are wrong with this movie. One, it's really poorly written. The screenplay is actually cheap. Two, James Franco is horribly miscast. And three, the CGI is way over the top.
Now, we have Mila Kunis.
Yes.
Very attractive Mila Kunis. I think Forgetting Sarah Marshall was brilliant. I loved her in that. It's hard to find her hot when you realize she's the voice of Meg on Family Guy. It really is hard. The hotness kind of goes away just a bit. Imagine if you're, I mean, seriously, guys, imagine you're on the couch with Mia Kunis. Ooh, oh, my gosh. And she starts talking to you and you're loving it. The second you close your eyes to go in for that kiss, it's Meg. I mean, there's no way to get around that. So it's hard for me when watching a film that she's in to really disassociate her character arc in this movie. I feel disappointed by it. Now, does that make
any sense? That's part of the cheap storytelling that I'm talking about.
That's what, I just wanted to go there without spoiling everything out. I'm just saying the way that her character arcs out, I was let down with.
Yes.
Now, I walk out and I think to myself, who could have rocked this movie? Is it possible, even with the cheap script, is it possible with the overabundance of CGI that there could have been an actor that could have nailed the role and had me forget about all that? And I'm asking you, do you think...
I actually had the same game going in my head in the car on the way home from the movie, and I couldn't think of anybody who would have been able to pull this off, but that's just because I had a little, you know...
too many donuts?
A little empty brain syndrome at the time. So who did you come up with?
The very first thing that popped in my head, who would not do it now, I think because his star has gone too high up, Leonardo DiCaprio, I think, could have nailed it. I mean, really? I mean, look, you haven't seen Django Unchained yet, right?
Right.
Are you just
I've seen most of the other movies he's made, though. I certainly saw him in Catch Me If You Can,
yes,
where he played Frank Abagnale, one of the greatest con men of all time.
He has the ability to be who everybody wants him to be or thinks that he is.
Yes.
And when you see Django Unchained, you're like, well, I mean, this guy could be devilishly evil if he really wants to be. So I thought that would have been good. And for whatever reason, you guys are all going to tell me that I'm the biggest idiot of all time. I'll just say it, though. Jeff Goldblum knocked it out of the park. I know it's so bizarre. I know it's weird. It's
a younger
weird
Jeff Goldblum, not Jeff Goldblum now. Jeff Goldblum 20 years ago. Big chill Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, or potentially Ian Malcolm Jeff Goldblum.
The Great and Powerful Lies.
Mm-hmm.
What was that? Was that the bacon talking?
That was the bacon talking.
Wow. No, look, I just felt that James Franco, he can do good when he's meant to just kind of be an idiot. Like, look the Planet of the Apes movie, all right? He was in the Planet of the Apes movie as some biochemist or whatever it was. But the whole movie, he was like five steps behind. He was a complete, he was just dumb. He was a noob. He really didn't know what he was doing.
Yep.
He played it well. Half the time he was asking questions. Go back in time to The Matrix. Everybody thinks Keanu Reeves is some new thespian when he did The Matrix. Did you realize when you watch The Matrix, all Keanu Reeves does is ask a question to everything he's told? He actually has no dialogue that's his. He's just asking a question.
Repeating other people's.
So I'm the one.
Yeah.
I'm going to know Kung Fu. It's like Mark Hamill in the first Star Wars. He really didn't do anything but repeat everything everybody told him with a question mark behind it.
Yep.
And so to me, I think James Franco is not the golden god of acting. He's just not. He was great as a bratty kid grown up in Spider-Man 2. Perfect. Now, the execution of Part 3 really kind of ruined it for me.
And he was good in 127 Hours. That was fine.
Yes.
But in
yes.
this movie where he's supposed to play a guy who's so likable that people will fall for his BS at all times, and the ladies are going to love him. Where does that come from with James Franco?
Especially
when have you ever heard anybody go, oh, James Franco?
It's not only that. I'm just going to say it. The porn stash. Come on. I mean, really, he's not Burt Reynolds, all right? Not even Burt Reynolds is Burt Reynolds anymore, but at least the stash could have gone. Or give me some of that Clooney or DiCaprio stubble stuff or the Brad Pitt stubble stuff from the late 90s.
Yep.
Don't go full on with a curly-looking mustache. I mean, it's like a permed stash, and it was so distracting, and it just bugged me. Yes, it is vibrant. It is very colorful. This is not a movie like a Pixar film. This is not a film that you'll go into with your kids and walk out and the entire family loves it. I will tell you right now, I'll bet dollars to donuts. I'll say it straight. The kids will love this movie.
Yeah.
It is not heavy lifting.
Can I just give you one example of the bad CGI in this movie? You've seen it and our listeners haven't. So I'm going to try to describe this. There's a scene where James Franco has gotten to Oz and he's been there for just a few minutes and he encounters Mila Kunis, who's later we're going to find out it turned into a bad witch, but at this point she's just a woman that he meets there.
Did you just really do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Well, now I'm not going to see it.
So he's just met her, and she's telling him to watch out for these certain creatures that are there.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, they're so cute. They look like little fairies. And then they bare their gremlins-like teeth, and they start biting him all over. And he's swatting away at them. It is so obvious that he's nowhere near these creatures, that they're completely CGI created, that it's horrible green screen acting on his part. It's like if you and I had decided to go make a special effects movie. That's the level of horrible this
was.
No.
Look, I make lightsaber movies with my kids. We would do better if we went to go to it. And the other thing is, we live in a Peter Jackson world. Gollum, okay? We live in that world where at first we're like, I don't know. And then eventually, you completely forget. You forget that Gollum is not even there.
Yeah.
You forget the actors are not really dealing with anybody.
You know what's amazing is this movie was made by Disney, which owns Pixar, which is probably the greatest animation company on the planet. And they know a little bit something about computerized characters. Why didn't they go down the hall and say, look, guys, we've got these things that don't look anything like it.
I don't care if it's Buzz Lightyear. Just get it to fly and make it look cool. I mean,
exactly.
Really, for real. It could have
gone. We know Franco can't act. Can we make them look like they can act so we'll take something away from that? No, so, they didn't do that.
If you want to try and enter the mind of Joe Hipperson, it is a scary journey. Once inside, there's no way out. But I will tell you, walking away, I thought this. Wow. First off, the little bit you were talking about, the little fairies and the crazy teeth.
Yeah.
Very first thing I thought, even during the film and as I'm walking away, I saw that. I remember I saw that in the second Harry Potter movie, when those little blue pixies are going around all crazy. It was the same gag, and it was done better then, over a decade ago, and even then it looked bad.
Yeah.
And also, I'm very scared, because this is a Disney movie. I'm glad you brought that up. Disney now owns the greatest saga of all time. And they're going to do
episode
7.
No, but they...
Yes.
Star Wars you're talking about.
They're going to be responsible.
I thought we were still talking about Wizard of Oz. And we'll get to the Star Wars in just a second.
That's
here.
Fine.
But here's something interesting about this movie. The original movie in 1939 was made by MGM. And then the rights to it were sold to Warner Brothers. And Disney went to Warner Brothers and said, we're going to make this movie that's kind of a prequel to that. We'd like to be able to include some of the stuff. And Warner Brothers essentially said, you can't take any of the iconic stuff. So just to give you an idea how cheaply they got away with it in the script, you remember in the original Wizard of Oz, the witches, guards, yep, marching around going, O-E-O, O-E-O, O-E-O. These guys march around in this movie going, they can't even do the O-E-O because somebody has a copyright on that. So they write a cheap rip-off version of that.
And if you're a music guy, and unfortunately you've heard everything, you're going to be thinking of the song Hangin' Tough by New Kids on the Block. That's all I'm saying. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. You're going to be waiting for it. Hangin' Tough. I almost shouted it. I would have got more laughs than half the movie if I would have shouted Hangin'. There's a little tip, kids. If you see this movie, when that part comes up, shout out Hangin' Tough or start breaking some rhymes from New Kids. You'll be good to go.
Now, here's the problem with this. It's still, despite you and I not liking it, and I was there with a full theater of people, and I walked out and I asked a couple of other people, what did you think of it? And they didn't like it either. But that's not going to stop this thing from making like $80 million this weekend, right?
We talked about this a few months back when it was, oh, why are they re-releasing The Wizard of Oz? Why are they doing this with the Blu-ray? Well, obviously, to get people hyped up. Anybody that dropped about 30 bones on rebuying The Wizard of Oz and watching it, making their kids watch it, the kids are going to see the commercials. They're all over Cartoon Network. It's all over the place on TV. They're going to want to go. Parents got to do it. And a lot of people are just going to be curious. I'm going to tell you, and I'm sure Paul's got my back, you could be as curious as you want, but you're going to be very disappointed.
You are going to be very disappointed. Show your kids the original.
Yes. And you know what will happen? If you show them the original, they will not like you for taking them to this, because if you got smart kids, and I don't mean to disrespect any parents, but if you show your kids the original and then take them to this, and they don't call you out, and they don't say, whoa, wait a minute. That's not how they did it in the other movie.
Yeah.
Wait, this happened before. What changed?
Yeah.
If your kids don't do that, then you might want to call the teachers.
0 out of 10?
4.
4 out of 10?
The 4 is for this. Kids will love it. And I feel bad for the parents that have to sit through it. It's
all right,
an arduous tale, man.
4 for the kids. What about for Joe Hipperson?
Joe Hipperson gives us a 1.
Okay.
All right? You know why? Because there's a part, no matter what goes down with Mila Kunis, I thought it was kind of hot.
Right.
It's twisted. I'm just saying. Right. I thought it was kind of hot.
I'm giving it a 1 instead of a 0, not from Mila Kunis, but because of Rachel Weisz, who plays one of the evil witches in this movie.
She vamps it up very well.
She is very good. She's the only actor in the entire movie, except for maybe Bill Cobb, who people won't know who that is. But she is very, very good in the role. But that only elevates it from a 0 to a 1 out of 10. It's just horrible.
Well, I'm saying she is the elevation, or that she's the good one. in all honesty, you got to know her film canon. It really isn't the most bragworthy thing in the world. I mean, the only reason we know who she is because she did the Mummy movies, and then she was smart enough to drop out of the third one. Outside of that,
go back and watch Confidence with Ed Burns and Rachel Weisz
and Andy Garcia. I know what's up.
And Paul Giamatti.
Can I get some points for knowing? Yeah. I know. I've got that movie.
By the way, if you haven't seen that one, instead of Oz this weekend, here's what you do. You go out and you get The Wizard of Oz, the original movie. You show that to the kids. While they're watching that, you and your significant other go watch Confidence in the other room, one of the great con man movies of all time. You're going to have a happier weekend than if you took them to this trash.
Confidence is a great diamond in the rough if you could find it. It is better than The Grifters, in my opinion. Yep. And get Andy Garcia. Plays against type. He's not what you expect him to be. And yep. I love the movie just even more just because of that.